Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he reigns victorious. Over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, he reigns.
Here's my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. Now, the title of my message today is How Not to Want to Throw Rocks at Those Who Want to Throw Rocks at You. I can't wait to hear it myself. So if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, we're just going to do a little Bible study here today of this one encounter that Jesus had as he was teaching in the temple, and people sitting there listening to him, they loved to hear him teach, and they'd gathered there to hear him teach, and in the middle of his teaching, the religious crowd of his day dragged a woman and set her down in the midst and reported that she was caught in the very act of adultery. And Jesus, what are you going to do about it, and what do you say we should do? And they were wanting to throw some rocks. And so this is a great story in how Jesus resolved the issue and how he is willing to get right in the middle of our trouble, just like he did with this woman caught in the act of adultery, and got right in the middle of that painful, confusing, devastating situation and resolved the issue. And stood between she and the rock throwers. Aren't you glad? Amen. That's what we're about.
Amen.
And for some of you, that's real news. So for the rock throwers in the room, you're here. Let me look down. I won't look around at anyone. You know, cast my eyes on anyone specific. No. But it's important for us to recognize that Jesus is our example. And he gave us a great pattern here for resolving those kinds of issues. So John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and then early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Jesus a woman taken in adultery, and when they set her in the midst, they said to him, Jesus, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act of adultery. Now, where the man was, we don't know. I saw there was some Muslim leader that had in his mind resolved that it was okay that Muslims had raped a woman because she wore perfume. I hate to say that on a day we're selling perfume, but that she had so positioned herself to deserve rape by wearing a fragrance. And so, you know, some of those crazy stuff. And so, where the guy was, we don't know. So they set this woman down in the midst there. And they said, this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. And Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Verse 6, listen closely now. This they said, tempting Jesus so that they might have some way to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And so when they continued speaking, he lifted up himself. Some people just don't know when to shut up, do they? They continued speaking, and he lifted himself up, and he said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And then again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard what Jesus said, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. And he said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. If you're a note taker, I have 7 points, and so we won't take very long on each of these. But I think there are 3 things that the religious crowd of Jesus' day did that we can kind of take note of, because I think it's important. I love to do this with the story of the prodigal son, the wayward son. Jesus was ministering, and it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, we're not going to go there, but publicans and notorious sinners drew themselves to Jesus to hear what he had to say. And I think I've mentioned many times that a couple of years ago, I was meditating on that verse and came to the realization that many times we as believers, as church people, that what was going on in Jesus' life was not a reality for us, or is not a reality. That notorious sinners and publicans and broken, wounded people are not really that interested in hearing what we have to say. And many times that's because we are off-putting to them. Now, listen closely now. Are you all here? Yeah. Look at me now, because I'm here. I am speaking. Sometimes we're not that accommodating to wounded people. They bug us, or maybe their particular sin is the one that ticks us off the most. And or whatever the reason is, and so we're not inviting and welcoming of broken people into our lives. Are you all here? And so they don't feel comfortable to come, and they certainly, if people feel like you hate their guts, they don't necessarily want to hear what you have to say. And so we have to love people. And Jesus said, "Look at the harvest." And Jesus was moved with compassion toward people who were so broken, they were like sheep having no shepherd, scattered, roaming, wandering, wavering, and wondering about life. And Jesus was moved with compassion, and he said to his disciples, go for it, reach out to them, pray about them, and then go toward the harvest. And we have a tendency to go away from the harvest, and that's sad. And so I was meditating on that, Luke 15:1, and I said, Lord, if there's anything in me that keeps broken people from being drawn to me, or keeps them from wanting to hear good things that I have, because I've got good news. I don't have sad news, mad news, bad news. We are commissioned with good news. And so if there's anything in me that keeps them from feeling welcome in my presence, if there's anything in me, get that out. And if there's anything not in me that keeps that from happening, put it in and just transform me. And I just put myself on the potter's wheel and said, you know, where I'm broken, or where I'm wounded, or where I have attitude, or whatever's going on in my life that doesn't lend itself to that happening, fix me. God bless you all. Drive safely. Enjoy the weather. You won't be having lunch today. It'll be brunch, because we're just out of here. No. So Jesus was all about, and so I love to, when we talk about, then that following verses there in Luke 15, we're not turning there, but Luke 15, Jesus tells 3 stories, because the verse 2, Luke 15, it says they were broken people were drawn to Jesus to hear him. Verse 2 says that the Pharisees were angry, and they said, look at this guy, hangs out with sinners, and they're always complaining about Jesus hanging out with the wrong people and eating with the wrong people. And a woman came and was worshiping Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. And the basically, I just put it in today's vernacular, you know, they said, if they knew that sleazy thing that was wiping her, touching him, if he was really a prophet, he wouldn't let her do that. But he did, though. And because he wanted to touch and be touched by hurting people, not only believers and followers of Jesus, but all people. And so then he goes, he starts telling 3 stories, the story of the lost sheep, and the story of the lost coin, and then the story of the prodigal son. And it's a beautiful story, and I think it's important for us when we read that to put ourselves in the role of the 3 key players there, the wayward son, because I don't know about you, but I've been that wayward son. Amen. And wasted the grace of God on stupid decisions and ridiculous things. Are you here? I've been there. I can relate with that wayward son. I can relate with that prodigal son, and I hope you can. If you be honest with yourself, I'm sure that's a reality, where we have kind of wandered off and wasted our inheritance and his hard-earned gifts to us, and we waste those. And let me just encourage you, if you're here today, if you're not in sweet connection and communion and relationship with your loving Heavenly Father, kind of up at the ranch, so to speak, and in good connection, you're in one of two or three other places. You're either on your way to the pig pen of life, or you're in the pig pen. I will encourage you to turn around and come back, because the prodigal son recognized in the midst of his devastation that the safest place, even as messed up as he was, and as much disappointment as he maybe thought he had brought on his family, that the safest place on the planet for him was not in the pig pen, but it was back at the Father's house, and he turned around and made his way back. Of course, then Jesus tells this story so beautifully that the Father was waiting and looking off into the distance and anticipating the return of his son. And when he saw him in the distance, he ran down and met him and grabbed him and loved him and hugged him and kissed him and danced him back to the house where they made a great celebration. And that's the attitude of the Father. And I hope you can put yourself in that place as well, that you're an instrument of restoration. That the Apostle Paul told the Galatians, he said, if you see someone overtaken in a fault, move toward them. Go to them in the spirit of meekness and restore them. And so if you see someone who's in trouble, don't be repelled by them. Oh, but I don't know what I would say. Well, just, you don't even have to say anything. Just show up. And the Holy Spirit will fill your mouth with words. And you'll have something good to say, because the Lord will honor your willingness to move towards someone who is broken or who's caused devastation in their own life. And I have been there, and so appreciate people who were willing to move toward me and not away from me in my brokenness. And I want to be that kind of a person. I want to be that person who sees someone overtaken in a fault and doesn't move away and use words to talk about, but move toward and use words to heal. And then there was the role in this great drama that Jesus unfolded to religious people and made them really angry. And it's good to make religious people angry, but do it with a smile on your face. And then Jesus said, and then there was the older brother. And he had been faithful, and he had served the Father, and he had been there, and he hadn't wasted the money, and he'd done all the right things. And so when this wayward, wounded, sinful son comes home, he's angry because he's keeping score in his mind. Are you with me? Yes. And man, those are tough people. Those that are keeping score, and they're sure they're ahead. And they're evaluating you and your performance. You know, they don't do it as much as I do. They're not as good at the Christian as I am. They don't come to church as often as I do. They don't pray as long as I do. They don't give as much as I do. And on and on and on and on we can go. Thank you, Ken. Could you move over here, because I'm needing some encouragement. I only hear one voice. I'm only hearing one voice. And it's not from anywhere over here. Right there. Thank you for your encouragement. And he was angry. And he began to point out his pedigree. And I've done this, and I've done that, and I've performed here, and I've performed there, and I've done these good things. And so trying to establish his own right standing. And he's not in right standing because he's done all these wonderful things. He's in right standing because he's born into the family. And so we can all relate with being the older, angry brother, or at least I can. Has anyone ever been frustrated with someone and you just want to lower the boom on them? All right, so, yeah. And I often tease about this, but seriously, one of the most consistent times I have to check myself and say, Holy Spirit, get in this car with me, is when I'm driving. Particularly this time of year. And if you're a... people from Oklahoma, or I don't know. I just have a word from heaven for you. Find the accelerator. It's the long, skinny pedal on the right. Works like this with your foot. Find that baby. People are fun. It's fun to watch them. And so I really just have to let the Holy Spirit calm me down. Because see, we're here. Those of us who live here, we're busy, important people doing good things and fun, you know, and going somewhere important. And they're just looking for the early bird special at the restaurant they're going to go to. And so I feel like the older brother. I know how to drive and you don't. So I'm being silly, kind of. But I want you to see these three things and try to connect with this story. Try to connect with the religious people, kind of like we just talked about with the prodigal son. And our own sense of kind of self-righteousness and entitlement, and, well, I deserve to be angry at that person because they're not living their life the way that I would live it for them. Number one, they brought to Jesus this woman. And it seems like these people are always bringing something.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to recognize that they're bringing and then they're setting down in the midst, number two, and then they're saying something. That's the three things that they did. They brought her, they set her down, and then they said things about her. So now this happens all the time. It happens often on Sundays after church at lunch. And you ordered your food, and so then you want to bring Sister So-and-so and set her there at the table, though she may not be physically present, or Brother So-and-so and set him down there with you, and then start saying things about them.
Good word.
It is a good word. Yeah. Thank you. And the silence is deafening, but I know it's just because you're rehearsing in your mind last Sunday after church. So I got it. And so did you see the dress that poor woman had on today? Oh my Lord! That Brenda, when she got up to sing, she sang good. She sang. That girl can sing. Because Brenda does not sing. She sings. There are nice people who sing. And I love that song, but did you see she took off her shoes right in church? That's just wrong. That's not how I grew up, taking off your shoe. That's not what a woman of God, God's woman, all right, taking her shoes off all up in there. Are you with me?
Yeah, oh,
and that's what I'm talking about. That's because sometimes we're so broken that we feel like it makes us feel a little better to criticize someone else. So these religious people not feeling too good about themselves. I mean, they bring forth their self-righteous pedigree, but they can't be at peace with God because they're wounding others, and they drag her in, and so what they're bringing and what they're setting in the midst and what they're saying, oh, those things are the problem, because they're advocating stoning the very life out of her. Here's a woman so broken, so devastated by life's journey, that she's ended up in an adulterous situation. And that's a nice reframing for you and for me, is to see people as broken rather than sinful. Sin is real. We acknowledge sin. We repent of sin as believers. But when it's in the life of other people, we just have to have a little mercy like the Lord has for us and see them as broken. Now, Jesus here is about to engage in ministry, but it's important for us to find this hinging point here between what the religious, angry religious people were up to and then what Jesus was up to. And the hinging point is found in verse 6. And so this is my fourth point. Point number one is they brought point number two is they set in the midst, and point number three is what they had to say. So what you bring, what you set down, and what you say are important indicators of kind of where you are. So, but the true motivation was they wanted to tempt Jesus. And so if we really want to come to that place where we don't want to stone those who want to stone us, we don't want to throw rocks at those who throw rocks at us, we have to figure out our motivation. Because we see their motivation was to tempt Jesus, to work against what God was up to. And when you're bringing the wrong things and setting in your midst the wrong things and saying the wrong things, that works against the will of God. It's so easy to slip into that stuff. Where you just start running your mouth, just little complaints and little criticisms. And always remember these words. Listen, if you don't hear anything else I say, listen to this real quickly. Because if you ever hear these words, you'll know. You'll know. This will be an indicator. This should be like a red light and a siren going off. You know, Olga, there's River Norbert there. I love Norbert. I love Norbert. I pray for Norbert. He's such a... I love Norbert, but...
But. Yes.
And there we... We show our butt in the midst of what we say is going to be love. In the midst of what was supposed to be a love statement. There's our butt. There it is. So you know right there when you hear butt, you're about to, number one, you've got a liar on your hands. Because if we make the statement, I love Norbert, when what would love say? And what would love do? And how would love act? See? And love would not say, I love Norbert, but... That's not love talking. Are you with me? So you've got a liar on your hand. Just mark it down. This is about, I'm about to hear some lying up in here. I love Norbert, but. And some just like that, like saying before you criticize or get your opinion belched out on the scene, that it makes it okay if you say before you throw up that I love Norbert. Oh, another very popular one is... I love Norbert. I love Brother Al. I love Pastor Jeff. But the Lord. Now and then you're putting your butt right there with the Lord. But the Lord showed me and the Lord told me, hogwash. Come on. Give me a break. You have deluded and deceived yourself if you're going to go there. And of course, there's nothing you can, I mean, what are you going to do, argue with God? Oh, the Lord showed you that. And so people want to cloak this and coat this in spirituality so that they feel better about their flesh-consumed, demon-possessed behavior. Is this on?
Yes, sir.
So the motivation there is so key, because we know that they're bringing this woman and they're quoting verses from the Bible and they're trying to act like they're doing righteously, but we see the real motivation shows their hand. Man, this is good. I'm so glad to hear this. If you're not getting anything, I'm getting blessed. Okay, let's conclude here. We got three more points. Here we go. Number five is Jesus didn't listen. That's point number one. He acted as if he didn't hear. He kneels down, starts writing in the sand, and all kind of conjecture about what he may have been writing. But there he was, stooping down, and acted as though he doesn't hear. So it's a great tool for just to act like you don't hear things. Yeah, you know, and I frustrate people many times because we are a house of mercy. And this is a place of restoration. And this is a safe place right here where broken people who crash and burn can come to be restored. And where the compassion of Jesus and the mercy of God can be extended, not only from heaven, but through God's people. And so a lot of times people will come, not all the time because they're pretty much used to, but I truly, when people mess up, I don't remember the details. I really don't. I just don't remember all the details. And there's some people that they know every detail. Wow. And every little nuance and every ounce of everything that's been said, and they're just like a gossip vacuum cleaner. Like they're just sucking it up from out. I mean, if they think you might know anything about the problem, they're gonna go to their vacuum. Go, what do you know? What have you heard? They're sucking trash up like that, filling themselves with that. Well, how's that going to help you be merciful and compassionate? Getting all the gory details on people. And so I have lots of friends who are just have wildly messed up. And all I know, I hear mess up and I'm drawn to people.
Yep. Come on, Pastor.
And if it helps them to talk about stuff, if it helps them, I'm glad to hear it. I can hear it. I mean, it doesn't affect my love for them. But if they don't want to talk about it, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just here to smile a mercy smile. And so that's sick, isn't it? That people just want to hear that stuff. So Jesus just act like he didn't even hear it. He's just going to let it roll right off and respond out of true love and mercy. And so he was not listening. And that's a great tool. So we can put ourselves in these three roles. These roles here of the woman who's caught in a mess and then the religious angry people. We can kind of connect with that. But we can also be like Jesus and just don't even act like. I remember I've told this story many times, but it's such a memory in my mind. I went to my job in the bank and the very first day, and my dad said before I went to work, he said, because I was 16 and was a teller, and he said, now when you go to work in the bank, son, he said, that here's going to be what is going to be a reality. He said, people in a workplace, they talk about each other. And so he said, you may be on your lunch break with two or three other people, and then the people who are not on their lunch break, the people who are on the lunch break down in the break room eating lunch, and you're trying to eat your tuna sandwich, and by the way, at the office, it's such a strange thing that people are now naming their food, and like writing on a sandwich, they'll wrap it up and put a name on it, and so last week, I ate a tuna sandwich named Norbert. So my dad said, you go to work in the bank and you'll be sitting in the break room. And they said, they'll start talking about someone who's not there. Now he said, my dad is great, this is great. He said, now you don't have to listen to that. He said, and you don't have to make a big scene. He said, just get up and go to the restroom. And when you're done, go to the restroom and wash your hands. He said, just kind of wander off, go get a cup of coffee. But don't sit and listen to that stuff and certainly don't participate in it. So that's kind of just in me by precept and example. So it's important that we can use that tool of not hearing it. The second thing Jesus did, so this is point number six, is that he lifted himself up. So if we can lift up the Lord, Jesus lifted him. Now he was kneeling down and writing in the sand, but then he lifted himself up. In order to say, he that is among you without sin, cast the first stone. Right. Now, let me pause here for a moment. I've just got a couple minutes left. But don't let those words be cheap.
Come on, Pastor.
I think a lot of times we quote that just as cheaply. Well, let him that's without sin cast the first stone. I like to justify something stupid we're about to do or did. Now let's let those words be the weighty, powerful, spiritual words that they are. Let he that is without sin cast the first stone, not some cheap escape hatch for our wrong behavior. Are you with me? but a merciful cry on behalf of someone else. Man, this is so good. So good. I will sit down and amen myself if I have to. And you know I've done it. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And then he sent her away with hope. He said, is there no one here to condemn you? And she said, no one here, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So here's what the religious people did. They brought her. They set her in the midst. And they said some things. Point number four is we see the true motivation. And that was to work against the gospel. To work against what God was really up to in that moment. And even though they quoted verses, they looked spiritual, they had on their costume. Are you with me?
Amen.
They had on the right hat and the right gown. And they had probably the phylacteries or, you know, the reminder of scripture. And they're quoting scripture. They were wrong. Did this go off? I said, even though they were quoting scripture and acting religious and God has sent us and they were fighting against sin, they were really fighting against God's work in that moment. And I don't want to be that.
Amen.
And the true motivation was to embarrass Jesus. And so here's what Jesus did. He didn't listen. So they're saying things, but he's not listening. See how he responds to the things that they did. They're saying things, but he's not listening. And they kept talking. Isn't that gross? They just kept talking, and Jesus knelt down and acted like he didn't hear him, but they just kept talking and talking. And it seems like people who want to be in this place are relentless. They don't want to let it go. They don't want to shut up. They just want to keep talking and talking because they've brought something, and they've set it in the midst, and they want to talk about it. Man, this is good. This is right from the Bible. I mean, this is Jesus and his life and ministry. So when they continued asking, they continued. Jesus acted like he's not listening. He lifted himself up. We want to exalt God in the midst of all that. And he didn't bring her like they brought her. He sent her with hope.
Yes, sir.
And so that's what we can do. We cannot listen to all the nonsense, but frame our connection with people with mercy and love. And we can lift up Jesus in the middle of that circumstance. And we can, here's a great question, and I'm done with this. I'll quit here because we're going to do part two next week. And what do you send people away with?
Wow, good question. Wow.
Do you send them away with hope? Do you send them away with love? Do you send them away with courage? I always like to think, because it helps me to really make more tangible in my life the word encourager. Because people need courage.
Amen.
To face life.
Amen.
This is a crazy world. Amen. And we're living in a crazy time. And the only thing that's going to help bring any really true sense of peace is Jesus. And so it's important for us, when people have an encounter with us, that we send them away with something that's helpful. And life takes courage. And when you send them away with a little more courage, that's called encouragement. Because you and I have the ability to either add to someone's courage or to take from their courage. And that's called discouragement. So when they come and say, I feel like the Lord's going to do this or that, and you say something like, when pigs fly, you? And we see that all through the Bible, even with Jesus. So listen, if Jesus had to tolerate, Jesus in his own hometown couldn't do any mighty work, could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Jesus could do anything he wanted, anytime he wanted. No, 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 no. That's religious teaching. Jesus ministered to people and said, according to your faith be it unto you. Are you with me? So Jesus could not do anything he wanted, anytime he wanted. Ultimately, he was God in the flesh, we understand that. But he had set that aside in order to live out life as an example to you and to me. And if he was functioning as God, not fair to ask us to walk that walk, because we're not God. Could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. And they said things like, well, isn't that just the carpenter's son? Didn't he grow up right here in the neighborhood? Didn't he repair our chair that one time it broke, and we took it down there to Joseph's carpenter shop and Jesus fixed it? Remember? He's going to come in here and do miracles? And he could, because of their unbelief, could do no mighty work. But the point is, even Jesus experienced, who, you? Who do you think you are? And that just strips people of their courage. So I want to encourage you and encourage myself to be like Jesus. Not listen to the nonsense. And just make a decision today that if that's your nature, somehow because of brokenness in you, that needs to hear all the gory details of every person's failing, that's sick. Hello? Turn this up. That is sick. That's sick. That's weird. Don't do that. Stop it. Don't hear it. But lift up Jesus in the middle of that. Jesus lifted himself up. Well, we're going to lift up Jesus and send people away with hope.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.